and don't be what we see very often. Yeah, look like you've been eating those green persimmons out there somewhere. Like, glad you're here today. Now listen, if your heart is warm and you're glad to be in the Lord's house, say amen.
Amen.
There you go. Listen, if you're part of our online audience today, we're glad that you're joining us today. Be sure to say hello to Dr. John Cazito. Dr. Cazito is monitoring our online audience. You'll notice that today we have a little bit of a different setup. We're still dealing with some technical difficulties and computer gnomes. And I've always said there's a church gnome. Have you ever noticed that? You know what that means? That means that stuff disappears and stuff walks around. Evidently at night when the sun goes down, things change locations and move. And then you have all the little odds and ends issues that take place, but we're thankful and grateful for our folks that are working on that, dotting some I's and crossing some T's, and at least able at this point to still be able to do our online broadcast. But we're glad you're here today. We trust that the Lord is going to speak to you as we worship Him. Let's look to Him in prayer as we begin today. Father, as we come to you, we're so grateful and so thankful for this time and this opportunity. Lord, help us, Father, to make the best of it. Lord, we realize and know that you are here in this place, and you have a word for each and every one of us. You've got a message specifically for our life. Lord, you've brought us together at this time and at this place to bring that message to us. I pray that you will help us, Father, to put aside all the things that might hinder us from being able to hear you on this very day. Lord, I pray that with every ounce of our being, that we can take that breath, that we can relax in your presence, and Lord, that we can be quiet and we can be still and hear the still small voice of our Master who's leading us and guiding us. And Lord, I also pray that you'll provide for us courage where changes need to be made. Lord, I pray that if there's one that is in the sound of my voice today that hears you, that doesn't know you, that today truly would be the day they would give their life to you and start a fulfilling life beginning even at this very moment. So, Lord, we know as we have arrived today, we have done so with expectation. Lord, we know that you have arrived today with expectation. And, Lord, help us, Father, as we have the opportunity to go away from this place to do so different, to do so changed, simply because we have been in your presence. So, Lord, lead us and guide us as only you can, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. So, my name is Logan. I wasn't there. Great to see everybody today. You'll notice in the bulletin, it does not say the band today, so I had to present that to Debbie a week before. They forgot to put me in, so we're so thankful for the band and the play prelude and the offertory band and for the ladies ensemble afterwards. Please stand and join me as we sing hymn number 334, Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
passage of Scripture today that comes out of Matthew's Gospel. It's going to be Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. I have noticed that particularly over the last couple weeks, more so I don't want to say more so than recently, but as people have had a chance to talk with me and to share with me, there are people who have essentially gotten what you would call to the end of their rope. You ever been there? You know what that means. It feels like you're getting ready to fall off of it. You know, you're hanging on. And when I say they've gotten to the end of their rope, I am talking about with this process called life and how things have changed and how things have become even more difficult. And I think what draws people's attention to that is the change in that from what used to be the norm. You know what I'm saying? It used to be normal. We used to be able to go and do different things, different ways. We didn't have to jump through so many hoops. Everything wasn't like a three-ring circus. And what happens is it frustrates us. Are you one of those people that gets frustrated with every little thing not seeming to go A, as planned, or B, like it used to? There have become challenges with everything in life in this day and age, hasn't it? I mean, even the simple little things that it seems like, you know, you get ready to do something or you get ready to mail something. Let's just say you're using the mail. You get ready to mail something, and then all of a sudden, everything has changed. You know, the packaging has changed. The postage has changed. The times at the post office has changed. Everything, and you just keep running into obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. How many of y'all understand what I'm talking about? And here's the thing. It's not just the big things. You expect it in big things, don't you? But it's the little things. The things that used to just be automatic. I mean, right through it. No problems, no issues whatsoever. Here lately, as I've had a chance to talk with people, the frustration factor has gotten above and beyond critical mass. You know, what is it, DEFCON 5, as they call it? It's just people are tired, sick and tired of nothing going the way that it should. How many of y'all will be honest this morning and be able to say, I've had an explosion or two over things just like that here lately? Nothing is like it should be. And literally what happens is you start going, well, what's the matter with you people? If you would just do your job, we wouldn't be here. If this was just this way, it wouldn't be like it is. And we just go off. Sometimes, that doesn't mean that you do that to somebody else, although maybe it does. But you do that in your own mind. You have those little times where you walk away and you just vent, don't you? You just let that air around you have it. Sometimes it gets to the point where it's not just the air around us that are getting it. It actually does deal with people. Now, I tried my best to talk the Lord out of this morning's scripture. And the reason I did was I was like, well, Lord, I just preached on that not too long ago. And it seemed like everything, every place else I tried to go in the scripture, the Lord just sat there going, are you done now? Because I'm not going to give you anything. I've got you here for a reason. And like I say, it is a very familiar passage, but sometimes we have to be reminded repeatedly over certain things. Yeah, how many of y'all been in that circumstance? Or maybe you had somebody that was an employee that worked under you, and you know, you felt like you go to them, you share some things, and then all of a sudden you're like, and once again, we have a failure to communicate. Maybe you've been that person. The frustration factor is boiling at a heavy rate, and it's getting worse day by day. We are tired of things not working out. Now, here's one of the questions. The question is, what did you expect? What was your expectation? I've had the opportunity, particularly over the past couple of months, to ask this question to people. And I can't ever really get a straight answer out of them except something like this. Well, what did you really expect? Well, not this. Not this. Okay, well, if not this, then what? Show me the that. If not this, then that. What is the that? And we get so to the point where we get wrapped up in our circumstance that I believe with all of my heart that we are missing God in our lives. We are missing His appearing to us. Because I've shared it this way before. God's not having a Malox moment over your issues. But He is trying to teach us something through them. And the problem is we get restless. And when we get restless, we start in with the hyperactivity. We start bouncing off the walls. We start squirming to try to get out of wherever it is that we are that we don't particularly like, don't we? When is the last time that you could sit back and take a deep breath and say, Lord, I don't like where I am. But there's not a thing in this world I can do about it, but there is something that you can do about it. So let me take pause, let me be calm, and let me hear from you. Yeah, I've shared this example before that I've seen people in the midst of some very traumatic situations that in the moment when they were going on, they had the clearest, calmest, you know, disposition that I've ever seen. Have you ever known some people like that in your life? I mean, stuff is falling apart around them. You're in the middle of a combat situation, and they're not running and screaming and doing all these crazy things, but yet they are going through the checklist of what needs to be done, and they're doing it in a very, very calm way. Yeah, I've said it much like this before. If you're on an airplane, and things get a little goofy. I know they probably have for you as they have for me. I mean, you know, you start hitting that turbulence and it starts getting bad. How many of y'all have done that before? That's not a fun feeling, is it? And yet, at the same time, when I'm sitting there with every muscle, you know, tensed up, trying to, you know, maybe breathe in a bag to, you know, do the... to stop hyperventilating or start, whichever one that is, I don't know. And then what happens is you see the flight attendant pushing a cart down aisle serving drinks. The only difference between that and a normal flight is she may hold on to the little rail coming by as she gets ready to do something, but she's still smiling. Would you like a drink? What would you like? We have water, we have soft drinks, we have juices. Yeah, part of me is wanting to sit over there going, we're going to die! And she's asking me what kind of drink I want. I'm like, are you sure I'm not going to spill this all over me? Yeah, and you want to get out of the situation, and she's sitting there going, buckle up. Y'all please keep your seatbelts fastened. It might be a little bit of turbulence. And then you hear the pilot come on. And I don't know, for some odd reason, they all sound kind of the same. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking from the bridge today. Just want to let you know we're cruising at about 35,000 feet. We're going to carry you up to about 42. Going to try to get out of this turbulence, have a safe flight. In the meantime, please keep your seatbelt fastened till we get through this. We know that you have choices. We thank you for flying with us today. I'm like... Now imagine what that would be like if the pilot comes on and he says, everybody grab pillows, everybody grab stuff that you need, we going down. Would your disposition change some? Mine would. I'd be like, I think we're in trouble. No, I know we're in trouble now. Because if the pilot's freaked out, then I'm certainly freaked out. Now, let me tell you something today. Let me make you a promise. The pilot of your life is not freaked out over the turbulence that's going on in your life right now. He's not. In fact, he knew that he was going to carry you through a storm. That can be a little bit irritating. I had sometimes to do some flying with some folks, and I know we got a couple of pilots in here, and I never did like that turbulence kind of thing, and I would jump on a plane and go at a moment's notice. Somebody says, "Hey, look, we worked on an engine. We're going to go see if it blows up. You want to go?" Yeah, count me in. Let's go. But I was catching a ride one day with a pilot down to Myrtle Beach. I felt like I was something, man. I had finished church. I was going back. I was dressed nice. I felt like one of those guys that when people saw me walking up to the plane, they said, "That guy must be important." And I had the whole cabin of this nice corporate plane to myself. But it had like leather sofas and everything. I kicked my shoes off and I thought, "This is living." And the pilot says, he says, "Well, the co-pilot needs some time. So we're gonna let the co-pilot be the pilot in command on this thing because this particular person needs some hours." Okay. So he gets in the not pilot in command seat, and the other person gets into pilot in command. So we take off, and there was thunderstorms in the area. I don't like thunderstorms when I'm on the ground, but I really don't like them when I'm in the air. And as we took off, I looked up to the sky, and we're flying along, bouncing around a little bit. And I thought, "Just a minute, it'll be all right. We'll get on top of this, and it'll all be good." And I saw this opening of clear blue sky, and we were not heading for it. And I saw the other pilot going and pointing towards the nice blue sky hole. And we turned toward it. Then we turned back away from it. And he goes, he kept on pointing toward that hole. And let me tell you, that pilot never made that hole. Never made it. We're bouncing up and down. We're bouncing like crazy. And I'm sitting there about to freak out. And the whole time he's pointing over. Listen, go through the smooth sailing. I was beginning to wonder, why are you not? Do you like this? And folks, let me tell you, God is pointing towards the hole in the clearing because he's in the midst of our situation. Now, let me give you the familiar scripture. Y'all didn't think I was going to get there, did you? Comes out of Matthew's gospel, chapter 14. And it begins at verse 22. It says, "And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away." Now, Jesus has just had this really great time. The disciples have seen him do some incredible things. The people actually were wanting to physically take hold of Jesus and make him a king. And Jesus knew that was not the plan. So he sends his disciples away, and we know this story. He sends them down. He says, "Well, go on to the other side. Y'all get in the boat and make your way on over. I'm going to hang out here for a while." So Jesus is not physically with them at this particular point. Verse 23 says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea." Remember, his disciples are the ones that are in the boat. The boat is in the middle of the sea. Jesus is not there. He's still up on the mountain. It is tossed by the waves. It says, "For the wind was contrary." Verse 25, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you now, Lord, I pray that you will help us to understand that there are going to be difficult times in our lives. But in the midst of those difficult times, you have never left us nor forsaken us. And Lord, not only are you going to walk through those difficulties with us, Father, there's purpose in them. Help us, Lord, to be able to be so close to you, walking so close to you, listening to you, that, Lord, we cannot help but learn the lesson that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Today we lift you up that you might draw all people unto you. Lord, use me as your messenger for these few moments, and your word, may it pierce our hearts. May it change our lives. May it draw us close. Lord, may it save the lost. Not because who I am, but because who you are. So Lord, bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Now it's ironic that when we look at this particular story, Jesus had a plan. Jesus had disciples. Jesus' disciples were following him. And Jesus says, okay, guys, there's been a lot of crowd. This is what's going to happen. You guys go on down to the boat, catch it to the other side. I'm going to meet you there. Business as usual, right? Didn't seem like there was anything huge about that request. You know, the reason why it didn't seem like there was anything huge about that request? Because it wasn't. It was just part of something every day that they would normally do. In fact, there were seasoned seamen that were in that particular boat. I was like, oh, okay, good. We're going to take the boat. We're going to go across. We're going to meet Jesus there. We're going to go on to our next thing. Isn't that the way it is in life? We are planning what's coming up next all the time. Got to do this, do that. We're going to get there. We don't expect the bumps in the road. We don't expect the speed bumps along the way. They didn't think twice about it. They went out there, got on the boat, and their obedience to Christ created something. Now, I want you to pay careful attention to that. Their obedience to Christ created something. And you know what the something that was created was? A difficulty. Well, boy, that just flies into the face of that theology today that says, well, boy, if I'm a Christian, everything is going to be cool. Everything's going to be all right. I'm not going to have any more problems. Isn't that funny? Listen, obedience to Christ almost ensures that there are going to be difficulties that are going to come in your life. Now, how does that apply to us today? How well are we handling all these changes and all these difficulties? I'll be honest with you, I'm not handling them well. My blood pressure goes up. That vein in my neck starts sticking out. How about you? It's like, look, man, all I'm trying to do is place an order. All I want is some food. My belly's growling. Why is this so difficult? Or, you know, you're sitting there, you do that, and you order online. You've caught up with the times, and you drive up only to find that the business is closed and they've already taken your money for the order. Oh, we'll make that up to you. We'll refund that back, or we'll get you a meal during our regular business hours. That ain't helping me now. I'm starving. Isn't that the way we view it? Isn't that the way we look at it? Obedience is going to create difficulties as you follow the Lord. Matter of fact, it was their very obedience that placed them in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the difficulty. And let me promise you that faithfulness brings no immunity from difficulties in your life. So if you're buying into some sort of theology that somebody's tried to tell you that if you follow Jesus, everything in your life is going to be right, let me put this in your ear. That's wrong. That's wrong. In fact, it's probably going to become even more difficult of a journey because you're living in a world that does not like anything that has to do with our master. So in fact, following Christ almost ensures that there are going to be further difficulties. Now, what happens is in the middle of our difficulties, we tend to have an issue. And you know what our issue is? It's the same issue that the disciples had in the boat. In the midst of that, we often lose sight of Christ, don't we? See, we're too busy trying to circumvent the difficulty. We're too busy trying to find the relief. We're too busy trying to find the way out. And what happens is we begin to lose our focus. We begin to lose sight of Jesus. We begin to lose sight of who He is. We begin to lose sight of what He can do in our life. And we begin to lose sight of the fact that He knows exactly where we are, don't we? Have you ever seen panic mode? Some of y'all have found that gear in your life and you've panicked. You know what the thing about panic is? Panic causes tunnel vision, doesn't it? And we know what tunnel vision is. Yeah, when we normally see, you will see what's in front of you. You will see periphery. That's cool, isn't it? Periphery. How about peripheral vision? You'll see other things. But when you panic, all of a sudden it goes into tunnel vision where you don't see the things that are right in your midst. And we panic. The disciples panic. In the midst of our scripture text today, it says that they were striving against the storm. They were striving against the wave. Like I said before, these are guys that knew what the water was like. People that you and I would feel comfortable getting in a boat with. Oh, he's a captain. We'll ride with him. I have confidence in him. So in the midst of that, these are guys that are sitting there going, I'm getting worried. In other words, the pilot on the plane was going, I don't think we're going to make it. And everybody in the boat begins to have issues over the dilemma. But let me tell you something else about the storm. The storm in our text for the disciples is the same as the storms that come in our lives today. They are preparatory. They are teaching us something. There is not a difficulty or a situation that happens in your life that A, God doesn't know about, because He does, and B, that He doesn't want to use it to draw you closer to Him or teach you some sort of lesson along the way. But it's hard to do that when you're flailing around and thrashing around. I've often said it's like an animal that's caught in the fence. We've probably seen videos of something like that. You really want to help this animal that is tangled up in the fence. And what happens is the animal starts fighting you because it's that survival instinct. It's that protective instinct. And how many times have we found ourselves fighting God when He's trying to help us out? See, most of the time what happens is we don't even see Him because we've gotten tunnel vision. You see, in the difficulties, we tend to lose sight of Him. But here's the great part. Although we might lose sight of Him, He never loses sight of us. He always knows exactly where we are. When we cannot see Him, He always sees us. You see, Christ was hidden on the mountain up above while His disciples were facing these difficulties down on the sea. He was praying on firm ground while they sailed on uncertain waters. Now I can imagine what maybe some conversation would have been like along the way. Maybe that one person that said, guys, let's not panic. We follow Jesus. We trust Jesus. Jesus can do this. Do you remember? Oh, and by the just a few passages or a few chapters before, in fact, it was in chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, Jesus had already stilled a storm in their midst. Remember when He said, peace, be still, and all of a sudden, they saw this with their own two eyes. They knew what the power of Jesus was. They knew He had the power to do that. Now, there may have been one of the disciples that said, y'all remember just a couple chapters back what He did? I have a feeling that somebody probably in that boat may have reminded him, and it was probably Peter. Now, that's the gospel according to Roy at this particular point, okay? So don't bank on that. But he probably would have said, you know what? We've seen Jesus do this before. This is no big deal for Him. And you know what the response, again, gospel according to rule, you know what the response that I think may have come out? It would have been something like what you and I hear. Yeah, I know he did, but that was then, and this is now. It was daylight, this is dark, he was here, and now he's not. Make sense? I don't see, he was right beside me the last time he said, peace be still, he ain't here. How many times in our lives do we go through circumstances and situations when Satan tries to make us doubt that God is there? You have prayed and you've heard nothing. And you've wondered, is God there? You have cried out and heard nothing. And you've gotten your feelings hurt because you feel like God is not listening to you. Why is that? Let me bring it into perspective based on this text. You know why? Now it goes in the scripture, and let me see if I can find it real quick, the particular place. It talks about the fact that verse 24 says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, and tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now that is really an interesting thing, because now we're talking about like 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you realize that Jesus allowed them to fight the wind and the waves to the point that they were exhausted? To the point where they felt like they couldn't row one more step. Their arms felt like they were about to fall off. They just didn't have anything else in them. They were about ready to give up and about ready to say, it is what it is. Guys, if we go down, we all go down together. And if we die, we're all dying together, because that's what it looks like is getting ready to happen. Jesus allowed them to stay in the middle of the storm until they realized that the severity of the storm, number one, and number two, that there was nothing that they could do about it. Did you pick that up? For them, it was futile. Why was it futile? Because God allowed them to get into that situation, to come to the point where it was indeed futile for them, because only God could change that. Only the one, Christ, who could calm the seas, could calm this storm. Now they were in the middle of the storm. They were doing everything they could so that they could survive, when all the while God was putting on their heart that you just need to surrender where you are, to surrender your thought, to surrender your way. Because I'm teaching you something. Remember what I said a moment ago? The storm was preparatory for them. It was about teaching them something. The storms and the difficulties in our life are about teaching us something. Now, I know some of y'all are sitting out there going, I should be a PhD scholar by now, because of all the stuff. Evidently, God wants me to be magna cum laude in my class. But what's our attitude? Is our attitude, Lord, I don't like where I am, so help me to learn the lessons you want me to learn so we can get out of this storm, because I trust you. And then what happened was something interesting. Verse 26 says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. They were afraid. Once again, something that was preparatory. I want to mention something else before we get to the point where Jesus rescues them. Many of us have been praying about some certain things, maybe some difficulties in our life, and there is a delay. And in the middle of that delay, we're trying to figure out what God's got going on. We're trying to figure out what the story is. You know, it's like, Lord, what's the matter, man? Am I like way back on the line? You know, am I just waiting my turn? What's going on? I'm tired of being here. But understand this, that divine delays in the middle of our difficulties also always have a purpose. There's a reason for the delay. There is a reason that God is waiting, because his timing is perfect. Now, I really like to be on time. I'm that guy. I like to be early. I don't like sliding in, you know, at the midnight hour, you know, 11:59:59. But have you ever noticed that it seems like that's when God shows up? At 11:59:59. And then fixes it all. And we're sitting there going, Lord, it's 9 p.m. Lord, it's 10 p.m. Lord, it's 10:30. Are you listening to me? Lord, it's 11 o'clock. We're getting down to the frog hairs now. Lord, 11:30, where are you? You just going to let me crash and burn? It's 11:45 and you haven't showed up. I'm done. You're just not going to show up. 11:55. Well, here we go. Everybody just play taps. We're done. Where was God when I needed him? Why didn't God show up in my circumstance? And then while you're sitting there doing your little rant, 11:59:59 rolls around and God fixes it just like that. And sometimes we're still crying before we realize that God's already shown up and fixed the problem. God says, what's the matter with you? And you go, well, Lord, you weren't here when I needed you because of the... And God says, well, because of the thing that's fixed? And you go, yeah. And the Lord says, why didn't you just trust me? Why didn't you just trust what was taking place? You see, Christ discloses in our text today his divinity in the midst of their difficulties. And yet he's still disclosing his divinity in the midst of our difficulties today. His holiness, his deity, and who he is. Yeah, one of the things I love that's not mentioned in this particular text, but we know that in the Gospels of the New Testament, we see this story from the perspective of a couple of different disciples, as is written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And one fact that is actually brought up in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 48, that's not in this one, is the fact that it says that Jesus would have passed them by. It says that when he was out walking on the sea, he was going to pass them by, but they noticed him. They watched him. They were looking. They were scared at first when they saw something. They didn't even know it was Jesus. Remember, the text tells us they thought it was a ghost, but no. They said, what are we looking at? What are we seeing? And here was Jesus out there just walking along. In the storm that they can't handle, the storm that they can't change, the storm that they think is going to kill them, there is a divine intervention at that moment. Jesus comes walking by. Here's the cool part. Jesus is walking by in the circumstances of your difficulties. The question is, are we going to see him? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Now that the text in Mark says that Jesus was just going to walk on by. He would have passed them by is the way it says. Did that mean that Jesus didn't care? No. What it meant was that Jesus actually was in the midst of their situation, but he was waiting on them to A, recognize him, and B, call on him. So let me make you this promise. Listen, if you don't get anything else, make sure you get this today. The difficulties that are setting you back, I'm going to make you a promise that Jesus is in the midst of the difficulty. You just got to look for him. You got to recognize him and you got to call on him. Because I promise you, he's there. He's just waiting on you to call on him. And some people say, well, that's just wrong. No, it's not. He didn't force his way in anybody's life. He didn't force his way in people's circumstances. He's sitting there saying, I'll help you, but do you want me to help you? All you got to do is ask. You got to trust. You got to believe. Jesus, I mean, could you imagine that the disciples out there thinking they're gonna die and Jesus just walking by? And just head right on by. Because remember what I said before, Jesus wasn't having an issue with the wind or the waves, was he? He was taking a casual walk like you and I would around the pond somewhere out watching the fall foliage change. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that nice? You know why? Because Jesus is the master of the storm. Are you relating now? In the middle of your difficulties? If it were not, let me also interject this. If it was not for God's grace, we wouldn't even recognize him in the middle of those circumstances. We wouldn't even be able to see. But because of his grace, he's showing up. He is showing up today. He is showing up in your life. He is walking by, waiting to see if you're going to recognize him. He's passing through each and every aisle, and he's going, I'm here. I'm willing to help. I can help. Will you trust me? Will you turn it over to me? But what we are is a bunch of control freaks, aren't we? Where are my control freaks? Self-admitted control freaks. There's three of you in here that just got a star. The rest of y'all need to repent. No. You like to be in control. You're that person who, when you're watching somebody else do something that you know how to do, and they're struggling with it a little bit, you know what you want to do? You're sitting there going, here, let me fix that for you. You want to jump in there and you want to do it. You want to take control of it. And you know, when you do that, God goes, knock yourself out. Because see, sometimes the Lord's just sitting there waiting on things to be right. I still remember when I was little, I used to love when my mom would make brownies. And the reason why was because I was all up into it. I licked the beaters. Any beater lickers? Mom would leave a little bit of that brownie batter in the bowl, and I would take that spatula. Man, I would eat it raw, and then they would go in the oven, and I liked them right out of the oven, right out of the oven, still warm. I mean, you can barely, they'll fall apart. That is the best brownie. And see, I knew that. So, I mean, there was times, you know, in my lack of understanding, Mom would put them in the oven, and about 30 to 45 seconds later, I'd be like, are they ready yet? Nope. You see, if we would have taken them out too soon, it would have been gooey. Now, that's probably not a good example because I like the goo. I'd have probably just taken a spoon and eaten the batter, but it wouldn't have been a brownie. You see, here's the thing. God's wanting to make some brownies, and we're too busy eating up all the batter. Give him time to solidify his recipe in your life that will be perfect. And sometimes he says, wait. No, it is not time for the brownies to come out of the oven yet. Stand down. Go out and play. Do something. But the brownies aren't coming out yet. Well, you know what? Your brownies aren't coming out yet. And some of us don't like that. Some of us are storming away going, Mom, don't love me no more. The Lord don't love me no more. He says, wait, just there's a purpose behind each and everything. Are you seeing him passing through? Christ always, always, always reveals himself to us personally in the middle of our difficulties. Period. Did you get that? He always reveals himself to us. He gives us a couple of things. He gave the disciples a couple things in this particular passage that we're looking at. First of all, he gave them a word of affirmation. Remember what he said? He said, take courage. Affirming them. Take courage. He also gave them a word of identification when he said, it is I. Take courage. It is I. And he also gave them a word of prohibition. And what was that? Don't be afraid. Don't you be afraid. I got this. I've got this. See, when the time for change came, when Peter decided that he wanted to share in Christ's power over the water. Remember Peter? We know how the story goes. It's familiar. They saw what they thought was a ghost, and they said, well, I think it's Jesus. They recognized him. Yeah, it's Jesus. Have you recognized Jesus in the middle of your difficulties, in the middle of your situations? See, when Peter did, Peter said, Lord, I want to be where you are. Get me out of this boat. I'm done with the boat. Yeah, you don't look like you're having the same issues over there that we're having over here. I want to be where you are. Now, it's really interesting, too, that everybody, you can make a point that everybody has to make that decision in and of themselves as an individual. You know why? Because Peter was speaking for himself. Forget them other 11 boat potatoes. Lord, I want to be where you are. I ain't worried about these cats. I want to be over there. Some people would blame Peter for that and say, well, that'd be like saying that there was, you know, only one parachute in a plane. Peter grabbed it and jumped out the door. Well, yeah, maybe so, but you know what? Peter's the one who learned the lesson. Peter's the one who picked up what it was that God had for him. Peter was used in the hands of the Lord to teach and show a lesson. Isn't that cool? Think about it for a minute. That was the coming of Christ. See, what happened was Peter said, I want to be where you are. In the middle of your difficulties, in the middle of your situations, have you A, identified Jesus, number one. B, have you said, Lord, I want to be where you are because the storm is calm over there. The waves are calm over there. I want to be where you are. Because then something interesting happens. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, let me come over to you. Jesus said, come on. Good old country term. Come on. I don't know what Peter thought at first. Maybe Peter said, did I let my alligator mouth override my hummingbird brain? Because you're over there and I'm over here. It's calm over there. It's wavy over here. It's bad over here. We think we're going to die. And between me and you is a nasty storm. I don't know what went through Peter's mind, but I know what went through his legs. He stepped out onto the water. For me, that would be a little weird. I know what happens when I step on the water. I don't know if Peter did the... Not bad. This is cool. I don't know if that's the way it went. All I know was this, that Peter made some distance between the difficult situation. He was closing the gap to get to Christ, and then all of a sudden his focus changed. All of a sudden it was no longer about being in the presence and the peace of the Father. It was, wow, these are big waves. Wow, that's a big storm. And it was when his faith wavered that he began to sink. Did you notice that? Now, as he sank, started to sink, he was close enough to Jesus that Jesus reached over, caught him by the hand, and it was like, oh, almost, man. He said, why did you doubt? Have you ever thought about this? In the middle of your difficulties, we're doing really good with the hard stuff. It's the easy stuff that trips us up. I mean, getting out of the boat was difficult. Walking toward Jesus was difficult. Decreasing the distance was the difficult part. It was the thing of just looking around going, whoa, that's a big wave. That's what got him. He was doing the hard stuff. He was doing the hard stuff. See, we can share in Christ's victory over the difficulties, but that's only if our faith doesn't fail. Where is our faith? While doing the greater thing, walking on the water, that's a big deal, don't you think? If not, I'm going to fill this thing up back here, and I want you to walk across the water for us. That's a big deal. While doing the big thing, the greater thing, the walking on the water, Peter was unnerved by the little thing, the blowing wind. Is that kind of resonating in some of the difficulties that you're walking through at this particular point? I hope so. It was when Peter decided, I don't want to be in this mess anymore. I want to be where Jesus is. That's when things happened. That's when his faith was tested. When faith fails in our difficulties, here's the great part. Because see, some of us are sitting back going, our faith has failed in the midst of our difficulties. But when faith fails, let me tell you what Jesus does. Are you ready for this part? He provides new faith. You're like, well, preacher, how does he do that? Look, think about Peter a minute. When Peter began to sink and when his faith failed, Jesus reached down and took him by the hand and raised him back up and gave him new faith. New faith. Oh, Peter, you were so close. Did you learn your lesson? I got you. You've learned some things. See, one day when I get to heaven, I want to ask the other 11, I'm going to say, why didn't y'all go with Peter? How come y'all didn't jump out of the boat and go where Peter was? People say, well, you're not going to ask that question. I said, well, why not? And they said, because there won't be any sorrow in heaven, and they'd be sorry that they didn't get out, so you're not going to get the answer to that question. Maybe so. But how many of us aren't even willing to, A, look for Jesus in the middle of our situations? You are so stressed out that you can't even open your eyes and look. Listen, God's grace gives you that opportunity to see him. That's number one. Number two, when you do see him in the midst of your difficulties, in the midst of your situation, do you have the courage to get out of the boat and go where he is? Do you have not only the courage, but do you have the faith that it makes to close the distance between you and Christ, even with the wind blowing and the waves crashing? I was talking to a guy one time, and he said, well, preacher, he said, I don't know about it. He said, yeah, he said, I can do that, but I'm going to tell you one thing I'm not going to do. I said, well, what's that? He said, I am not going to walk to Jesus. He said, I'm going to run. He said, I'm going to close the distance as fast as I can to get into his presence. What about our difficulties? The touch of Christ is what makes all the difference in the world. It is what restores. It is what renews our faith. We look at those passages, and what is it that we see? Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, the wind, y'all. Not that he was walking on water, the wind. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Once again, Jesus calmed the storm. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Sometimes you want to sit back and say, well, you know, Jesus, why didn't you just say, yeah, that's what you told him a couple of chapters before. That's what you showed him a couple of chapters before. But we're knuckleheads, aren't we? We have a hard time. Are we not in difficult times? Nothing's like it used to be. As you sail along the way in your boat, when you hit those difficulties that you cannot handle, I can promise you Jesus is in the middle of it. I can promise that you'll see him when you look for him. I can promise you that he will deliver you. And why can I promise you that? Because this makes that promise, not me. Ouch! That kind of hurts our toes, doesn't it? What is it that God has spoken to you today? First of all, he looks after his children. He knows them by name. Have you trusted him? Have you given your life to him? I'm not asking you if you're a good church attender. I'm not asking if you're any of that. What I'm asking you is, have you trusted Jesus? Have you said, Lord, I am a savior. I'm a sinner. I need a savior. You know, forgive my sins. Come into my life. Save my soul. Have you done that? Have you meant it? I'm not asking if you're just a good Bible scholar. Hell's going to be full of Bible scholars. You know that? Yeah, boy. Have you given your life to him? Are you walking with him? Are you talking with him? Are you having that relationship so that in the middle of the storm, you can identify Jesus because he's always had his eyes on you? It's kind of like when you watch a little kid. You ever notice you go to a park or something like that and mama's and them little kids, though, all of a sudden Junior goes darting over that way and mama's quick. She's snatching him up by the arm. Get back over here. Don't want to lose you. Don't want you to get in trouble. Have you trusted Christ? Listen, if not, make sure today is that day. Just call on him. Lord, I'm a sinner. Save my soul. And if you mean that with all your heart, then he will. He'll save you. I'm going to ask our musicians if they would to take their place as I ask you this question. This other question is this. Listen, are you a believer? Have you trusted Christ? You know that without any shadow of a doubt, but you have allowed the circumstances and the difficult times to drag you under. You are out there in the storm. You are scared to death. You are fighting for your life. You have got all these things that are taking place and all these things that are going on, and you don't know up from down. You don't know left from right. You don't know any of this stuff. You're just lost. Not lost in the sense of salvation, just lost in the sense of your walk. Listen, don't sit there with pride. Don't sit there and let pride keep you in the hog pen like the prodigal. Get up and come back to Jesus. He's waiting for you. If you're in the middle of difficulties, look around. Jesus is there, and he's saying, come on, come to where I am. Can you do that today? Get a new start. Get that new, fresh faith that Jesus is going to provide when you cry out and he catches you by the hand. New, fresh faith. What about you? What's it going to be today? You know, I've said before, I always believe in a good old-fashioned altar. There's one up here. Yeah, I'll be up here if you need me to speak with you. I'll be happy to speak with you. If you're part of our online audience, please let us know. If you've trusted Christ, if you need some assistance, we want to know. We want to celebrate with you to start with. But second of all, we want to help you in your walk, in your journey. So wherever you are, let us know what's going on. Confess him before men that he will confess us before the Father which is in heaven. Would you do that? I'm going to ask Brad and if he will take his place at our time that we have that's called our time of invitation. You respond. If you need the altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here as Brad leads us. cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Do you see that? Do you understand it? Have you reached out to the Savior today? I'm going to ask our musicians, our ushers, if they would come at this time as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, we're thankful for this time that we can continue to worship you by giving back to you what you have so blessed us with. Father, you don't ask for much. You asked us, Lord, to be faithful, to return to you the tithe, that your work might continue to go forward. And Lord, your word tells us in the only place in your word that actually says we can try you and test you in that. Lord, you want to bless us. It's not that you need what we have, for you own the cattle of 1,000 hills, but you want to see if we can be faithful to give back to you what you've blessed us with. Lord, may we be found faithful that you might truly enlarge our borders, that your work might go forward. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Gardner and Doris Wright will be having birthdays this coming Tuesday, so be sure to give them a big old happy birthday along the way. And then anniversaries this week, Kelly and Annette Joyce, their anniversary is actually today, and then tomorrow is Joanne and John Williard. So if you make a call or send a card, be sure to remember these folks and let them know we love them and we're praying for them. A lot of things going on the calendar. Let me give you stuff that's happening essentially for today. Choir practice, 5 o'clock this evening. Sunday Bible study here at the Sanctuary Bible Study, 6 o'clock. Awana tonight at 5:30, just like normal. And then we do have today is a monthly Building and Grounds meeting at 3:30 in room 203 of the Educational Building. We have our monthly business meeting tonight. That'll be around 7-ish to 7:15-ish. Whenever David gets done with the Bible study, we'll have our business meeting. And tonight is when we are going to vote on the change of business meeting from monthly to quarterly. We sent that information out, but we've got further information along with the motion to bring to you this evening at the business meeting. So be sure to be here for that. Trunk or Treat is going to be on October the 30th from 6 to 8 p.m. Here at the church. If you want to supply a trunk, we'd love to have you do so. There's going to be popcorn, hot dogs, candy, and all kinds of goodies for the kids. November the 7th is the bi-monthly blood drive. There we go. There's Katie over there, the one that you see. If you can help out in any way by donating an arm or a pot of chili or whatever we may need for the time, or if you just can be there to help, see Katie. She does a great job organizing that. November the 7th from 2:30 to 6:30. Don't forget also on November the 12th at 11 a.m. we will be having Patsy Bendigo's memorial right here at the church. So please make plans to be there for that, to support Kim, and then also have that time to celebrate Patsy. Operation Christmas Child drop-offs are going to be November the 14th through the 21st. Now, when I say that, we've got two different things going on with Operation Christmas Child. We have our church's collection that we're doing, but we're also a regional drop-off center. So we could use some help for when the time comes that the people in our region will be dropping the boxes off here, because we repackage those, then we have to get them to the next stop, which is over at Westover. There is a sign-up sheet back there in the narthex that if you could volunteer some time during those collection evenings, that you'll see the times back there. If you'll sign up to help us out, we would certainly appreciate that, and we'll make sure that they get there. We're going to be giving you more. You're going to start next week to hear about our church's collection for Operation Christmas Child and what Operation Christmas Child is all about beginning next week. A lot of us know what's going on. We encourage you to pack a box or two or ten, whatever the Lord leads you to. We would love to see God's work continue to go forward in this particular mission, as well as our continued support of Operation Christmas Child by being a regional drop-off. So thank you so much for all that you do. Lots of things that are going on. Remember, we got a ton of people that are out of town today, man. Can't you tell? There's a lot of people that are traveling for whatever reason. I think they're leaf watching these days. You never know. David, who is fresh and ready to go off of vacation, he and Donna. Jim's got something. That's Jim right there, and if you didn't hear what Jim said, Jim is representing Budget and Finance in that particular announcement. Budget and Finance is beginning to work on the budget. If you have budget request forms, you need to get them to Budget and Finance. That's Jim right back there by at least the second week in November, but that means the last part of October. That means get them in now. Because if you don't, then they're going to determine what you'll have to be able to spend this coming year. So don't let finance do that. Be sure to submit a budget, get it to them by the end of this month if you can. It would be helpful, because that will be something that we'll prepare to vote on in December as we head into our fiscal year, January to December. We'll tell you a little bit more about those things as we go forward. So at any rate, David, let us know what we need to know and see us out of here.
Just one other thing about the boxes, shoe boxes. We've got them put together back there for you. That's not all that we have, so don't worry about taking too many. It'll be okay. Take whatever you want. But take these boxes, because they're easier to pack. A lot of people say, well, I want a bigger box. Well, just get two of these, okay? Because they're easier to pack if we use those, because we have to pack them in cardboard boxes that are a certain size. So we want you to take them. Please take some today so you don't forget it. We start our campaign next week. It's okay if you want to bring some boxes filled next week. You can bring them every week during the campaign. So take some with you today. They're not real easy to put together, so I can give you one that's not put together if you want to fold it up and do all that, but they're already ready for you, so just take one. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house today. Lord, we thank you that you love us, you care about us, you always know where we are and what's going on in our life every minute. There's nothing that ever catches you by surprise. God, we are so thankful that we have a God that we can depend on. And we just praise you and honor you today, Lord. As we go from this place, help us to be a witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.